we have no friend like the Lord. It is truly good once again to be able to come and to worship God in spirit and in truth, to be gathered together with the saints to do as we are commanded. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Let us provoke one another unto love and to good works. Verse 25, let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhort one another, and so much as more, as you see the day approaching. It is always good to be gathered together with those that love the Lord, to do what we are commanded to do. If you are here on this morning, you are not a member of the Lord's Church, I want you to understand that you will have that opportunity starting now. At this point, not at the end of the sermon, but starting right now, to come forth to make the confession that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and have your sins washed away in the water of very baptism. And the reason I say starting at this point is because I recall back from the book of Acts chapter 2, as Peter was preaching the first gospel message, he was preaching there and he was interrupted in the middle of his sermon. And the man said there that heard the word, they were pricked in their heart and said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter, he told them exactly what they need to do, to repent and to be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And he continued to preach and to teach unto them, and about 3,000 souls were added unto them on that day. Now, if you are here this morning and you decide that you want to become a member of the Lord's Church while I'm preaching, come forward. We will take your confession. And instead of singing hymns while you're getting ready, I will come forth and continue to preach unto you, because there may be someone else that wants to do the same thing that you will be doing. So, remember that as we go through this lesson on this morning. The title of the lesson this morning is "The Time is at Hand." The time is at hand. There's no better time than right now to get your lives in order. No better time. You know, there are some brethren, when you tell them about something that you want done or something that needs to be done, you know how long they wait? They don't. They go and they get about doing what they're supposed to do right then. And I believe that we need to have some people that consider their souls important enough to do something about it when you know that you need to do something about it. Repent or perish. Repent or perish. The scripture reading was read from Luke chapter 13, verse 3 through 5. Jesus said, "I tell you nay, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." We need to consider those words. We need to hear what Jesus is saying there. He said, repent. If you don't, you will perish. No one liked to be turned away. No one liked to see something go bad. You know, you go over some friends' houses to eat sometime, or you're not there to eat, but you see something on the table and you want that. Maybe it's an apple, maybe it's an orange, maybe it's a banana. I had some cousins. They're still my cousins. But when we were little, they used to love coming to our house. Why? Because if we had cookies, they could get it. We had chips, they could get them. We had sodas, they could get that. But when we went to their house, it wasn't free for all like that. Mom and Dad said, leave those things alone. The bananas would go bad. The apples would rot. The oranges would go bad. And the cookies would get stale. See, we need to understand our lives. Some people's lives are going bad. Some people's lives are rotten right now. Some people's lives are getting stale. So we need to repent or perish. We need to understand that God wants us to do what is right. He wants us to come to the realization of the truth before it's everlasting too late. Amen. Knowledge. Knowledge is a terrible thing. Some know how to use it and some do not. But those that have the knowledge, understanding of who Jesus Christ is, understanding what they're supposed to do and why they're supposed to do these things, and are setting back and doing nothing, they will have to pay the price. In Romans chapter 2, to verses 1. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judges, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest dost the same things. We were quick to pass judgment on somebody, but we fail to look at our own lives, to see that we ourselves are being condemned by the very same thing that this person is doing. We talked about judgment on the radio on Friday, and I say we, and I'm not necessarily talking about you. It was me, and I was by myself. But we talked about judgment. We talked about judging. No, I take that lie back. Brother Daniel was with me, and that was on Thursday when we were talking about judging. And as we talked about judging, we made sure that we made individuals realize, and we wanted them to realize, coming from Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, or chapter 1, or verse 1. I'll get it right in a minute. Matthew chapter 7, to verses 1, judge not that you be not judged. Jesus wasn't saying there that you can't judge. Jesus was merely saying, as he continued to speak, because a lot of people, they'll read verse 1 and they'll close their Bibles and they don't want to see it anymore. They don't want to hear anything that you have to say. They just want to let you know that you're not supposed to judge me. That's not totally true. When we judge an individual, we need to judge them with a righteous judgment. But as we judge them with a righteous judgment by the Word of God, that we need to make sure that we're not doing the same thing. My brother saw me catching the train one day, and as I was trying to catch the train, it wasn't one of those passenger cars that I was trying to catch. I was just trying to hitch a ride, just for a little ways. And as I got ready to jump up on that train, my foot slipped, and he saw me. And I got off that train, and he said, "Boy," he said, "don't you never do that again." I said, "What are you talking about?" He said, "I'll never ride that train again." He said, "I saw what happened." And the reason he was telling me not to do it is because he had made that same mistake. He understands how important it is not to put your life in danger. And that's exactly what I was doing. So when we ourselves try to judge someone, let us make sure that we have our lives in order. The truth. The truth needs to be spoken. The truth needs to be told. And the truth of the whole matter is this in verse 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Do you know what you're doing? Do you know what the next man is doing? Do you know that if both of you are doing the very same thing that's against God's law, that you both are wrong? So what are you going to do? Are you going to stand before each other, Brother Brian? Someone is doing something wrong and you're facing them and you say at the same time, "You tell me my problem and I tell you yours." You're going to have chaos. You're speaking and that person speaking at the same thing. But since both of you already know what you're doing, why don't you just quit doing it? And then go out and help someone else. So we have too many Christians today that just don't want to do what is right. We have too many people that are out there in the world do not want to do what's right because they're looking at the lives of some Christian and they say, "If that's what Christianity is about, I don't want to become one because you are doing the same thing that I'm doing." Talking to a young man yesterday, proud of this young man. Had the opportunity to baptize him. He was afraid of water. He was afraid that, you know, if I get in that water, something bad may happen. And he just didn't want to be baptized. His dad said, "Mel, maybe you can talk to him. Maybe you can encourage him to get baptized." And it just so happened one day, you know, I was just sitting in my office. And I said, "Josh," I said, "I'm getting ready to tear my office down because we're going to make it into a bedroom again." And I said, "Come on in. Let me have my first, you know, my last lesson with you in this office." And we sat there and we talked about God's Word. And I asked Josh one simple question. Simple question. I said, "If you die right now, come judgment, where are you going?" Josh said, "Hell." And so I had to ask him another simple question. I said, "Josh, since you know that, why not get baptized? Why not have the blood wash away your sins?" And Josh said, "I don't see a reason why not to." And so, it just so happened that his mom and dad was pulling up in front of the house. They live 100 and so miles away, but they just so happened to be in town on that day. And Josh's dad was able to take his confession that he believed that Jesus Christ was the Son of God, and he was able to baptize him on that day. But I got some disturbing news from Josh on yesterday, and he knew it. He wanted it to be exciting news, but it was disturbing at the same time. Josh told me that he was engaged to get married and he wanted us to know all about this. I said, Josh, that's great. I said, you're one of the few that I can remember as a young man that we baptized. You're one of the few that is still staying strong, doing what you're supposed to do. And you know what I was doing? And I really didn't realize it. I was judging a book by its cover. And I'm just sharing this with you because it goes with judging and knowing the truth and what we should do with our lives. Josh said, you know, I'm still going to worship service. I'm not worshiping where I used to worship. I'm worshiping in a totally different place now. He said, but you know, they're teaching truth. They're doing the things that's right. But I'm getting married. I said, what about the young lady? Is she a Christian? And he said, no. He said, but we're still learning. No, I'm teaching her. She's going with me. And I said, well, why don't I send you some information, Josh, that'll help you better to get her to understand what it means to become a Christian? And Josh said, that's a good idea. And I said, well, I got some stuff I need to send you. I can't send it to you through email. I need your address. I'm just sharing this story with you. And Josh gave me his address, and he asked someone in the background what the zip code was. I said, was that your mom or dad? He said, no, that was my fiance. I was like, what? I said, so she's over your house? He said, no, we're living together now. I said, whoa, back up, Josh. I said, I just said how proud I was of you for staying in the church. I said, but you are not doing nor living the way God would have you to live. I said, I'm going to send you another lesson. I said, this lesson is on fornication. My life is in order. Josh's life is upside down right now. But Josh thinks everything is all right, but yet Josh knows. Because Josh was the very one that when we asked him, his mom asked him, do you pray before he became a Christian? He said, why should I pray? I'm not a Christian. But now the question is, Josh, why pray when you're living in sin? Josh, why assemble with the Lord's people when you know that you're not doing what is right? Thinking that your worship is acceptable in the eyes of God. Josh, why? That's the question now. But you know, as we look at verse 2, and as I was talking to Josh, and Anita happened to come in the room, and I had him on the speakerphone, I told her the good news about Josh getting married. And I said, wait, baby. I said, he's living in sin. She said, Josh, no! And Josh said, don't tell her. I said, it's too late. She said, Josh, you know what you need to do. And she left the room. She said, I'm through with it. And Josh knew at that point that he had made a whole lot of people upset with him, discouraged with him, but there's still hope. I sent Josh that lesson, and I'm hoping that he will sit down with the lady that he's planning on marrying next fall, that they go ahead and go down to the Justice of the Peace and get this thing done, because both of them are eligible to be married. I don't know what Josh is going to do, but I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep encouraging Josh. I'm going to keep telling Josh what he needs to do in order to get his lives in order, because I'm going to keep mine in order. So as verse 2 says, we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them who commit such things. When you do something that is not right and you judge somebody according to what you think they're doing, but yet you're doing something just as bad. In verse 3 it says, thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them who do such things and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? So it would be a bad, bad thing for us to look at Josh and say, Josh, you're living in sin, you're committing fornication, and we are doing the same thing. It would be a sin. It would be a bad thing. And when we get there on judgment, if we die in our sins, that we think that we can escape the judgment of God. God has already made a way of escape while we're living. If we die in our sins, you cannot escape the judgment of God. So therefore, we need to get our lives in order and do the things that God wants us to do. Go, if you would, to the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the verses 3. Oh, when you think everything is just going smooth. You don't have any problems in your life, so you think. But yet you know good and well that you're living a life of sin. It says here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, and travail upon a woman which as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." Shall not escape. Sudden destruction. When is our life going to end? We never know. You get a phone call that the other day during the storm that they was having in Missouri, they said a 4-year-old girl was drowned. She had no idea that she was going to get drowned that day. Her parents had no idea that she was going to get drowned that day. No idea. But her life is over. What about your life? You're still living right now. You still have an opportunity to get your life in order. Why not take it? The time is at hand. Tomorrow is not promised to no one. What is your life, James says, but a vapor that appeared for a little while and then vanished away? Where do you stand in the eyes of God? When you look in the mirror, what do you see? What do you see? Something that you need to change? Do you see a person that you know that is not right? Do you see a person that you're unhappy with? Or do you see a person that you say, God, I know you're pleased with me because of what I'm doing. And I'm satisfied. I'm happy. I'm very happy with my life. I'm very happy with the person that I'm with. Can you say that? What do you stand in the eyes of God? There are so many today that are rejecting God's word. They don't care about God. They don't care about what His word says. And they're going to continue to live the way they want to live just as long as they're living. In verse 4, it says, "Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" The goodness of God, the kindness of God is leading you to repentance. He's giving you another opportunity. Oh, I'm going to wait. You know, I'm going to wait until I get all my family together, then I'm going to be baptized. All your family may not be able to get together. Why? Because all your family can't get along together. So if you are contemplating getting your life in order, start today. Start today. It says there in verse 5, "But after thy hardness and impenitent heart, treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation, the judgment, the righteous judgment of God." The righteous judgment of God. This is God's character here. This is just a few things. Goodness we find there in verse 4, it equals kindness. He's kind to us. He's good to us. He's given us an opportunity to get together, to get our lives in order, to make that confession that we do believe that His Son is truly His. And that we know that we need to have our sins washed away. And then even once we become Christians, He is still long-suffering to us, that we will not perish. Those that are in sin, He's given you an opportunity to get it right. Forbearance, He's for the withholding of judgment. You know, we talk about grace, we talk about mercy. You know, God is withholding mercy. He's withholding judgment against us for the things in which we have done wrong. Romans chapter 3, it teaches us that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Not just some, but all. Well, what are we going to do? Or are we going to just say, well, I'm going to still live in this sin? Or are we going to recognize the long-suffering or the patience of God? And are we going to say, you know, Lord, I know that you're tired of waiting on me, but yet He's not tired of waiting on you. He is still waiting on you. You know, when we go pick up somebody from something that we all decided we want to go to, and we sit out in front of their house, and we have to blow in our horn, you know what that means? That means we're tired of waiting on them. But God is not tired of waiting on us. He's given us an opportunity, a space and time to get our lives right. We need to accept that, and we need to turn to Him before it is too late. But one day, it will be too late. Amen. The depth of His goodness. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, it's patience. See, a lot of us do not have patience the way we need patience. We need to learn patience. We need to start exercising patience. If you want muscles, you're going to exercise in order to get these muscles. If you want patience, you're going to have to learn patience. And you're going to have to put these patience to the test. And they will be put to the test. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Let's do what's right. Let us understand that we can't go out and do anything wrong because of what God has done for us. We will inherit the blessing if we are pleasing to Him, if we are acceptable to His Word, if we bow down to Him and understand that He wants us to be, you know, give reverence unto Him. We'll get what we want, the depth of His goodness, the depth of His kindness. None of us can be as kind as God has been because He gave His only begotten Son to die for the sins of the world. None of us are able to give our children for that. Why? One good reason, because none of our children are perfect. Jesus Christ was perfect, had no sin, has no sin, did what the Father wanted Him to do when the Father wanted Him to do it. Brother Simmons asked a question this morning in reference to Abraham and Sodom and Gomorrah. How he sat there and asked these questions unto God. And brother, I didn't think of this morning, but it just came to mind now how Jesus prayed to the Father in the garden. If it be thy will, allow this cup to be removed from me. It wasn't His will. So therefore, when we look at what God has done and what God is going to continue to do, we need to understand His patience. He is patient with us. And I know that our patience as being men, our patience wears thin. We tell people, you're getting on my last nerve. Let's think about God for a moment. Where should we all be right now? We should all be dead. Why? Because we all sin. But because of His love, He took us away from that old covenant where we should be stoned and put to death. Gave us His Son so that we may live and live without any regrets. In the book of Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 17. Nehemiah chapter 9 verse 17. You got that, Brother Theotis?
Yeah.
Read it for us. You see what type of God? See what type of God they served? It's the same God we're serving today. They just, you know, were forgetting what God had brought them from bondage. Forgot how God took them through the Red Sea on dry land. They forgot about those things. They didn't want to remember those things. But because of the kindness of God, He was still giving them an opportunity to get their lives in order. The people that you talk bad to, God hasn't struck you down. The people that you have done harm to, God hasn't struck you down. He is still giving you time to get your life in order. The depth of His goodness. When we've been disobedient to our parents, God did not destroy us. After He's given us commands on how to treat them and how to treat one another, and we haven't done these things, but God still is kind to us, merciful toward us, and He wants us to get our lives in order because He don't want us to perish. He did not prepare hell for you and I. He prepared for Satan and his angels.
Amen.
The demonstration of His goodness. In the book of Psalm 52 to verses 1. The demonstration of His goodness. Because we do serve a good God.
Amen.
We serve a kind God. We serve a merciful God. We serve a God that wants us to become His children. And He's given us the opportunity to become His children. All we need to do is seize the moment. Psalm 52 verse 1. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief? O mighty man, the goodness of God endured continually. Oh, look what I did. I went over there and I put a whooping on that man. No, you've done something wrong. I went and I robbed the store down the block. And look at all this food I got. Because most of the stores say, we don't carry over a certain amount of cash. And so therefore you have to steal the food if you really want to get something. Why boastest thou thyself in mischief? O mighty man, the goodness of God endured continually. Psalm 119, verse 68. Psalm 119, verse 68. It's important that we realize the goodness of God and the demonstration of His goodness so that we may want to become one of His children, that we may want to become part of the kingdom, that we may want to receive a reward that waits on us in heaven. Verse 68. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me thy statutes. We need to know the statutes of God. We need to know the commandments of God. We need to know about all His mercy, all His goodness. We need to know these things, but we're not going to know everything. But the things in which we do know, going back to knowledge, we need to do what is right. We need to accept God's Word. We need to accept all the blessings that He has in store for us, remembering that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. So those that are outside of Christ will not receive any spiritual blessings. Psalm 145, verse 9. Brother Thanopoulos, you have that? Read it for us. 145, verse 9. So we need to understand what God wants us to do. We need to understand how He wants us to do it. It's all about repenting. Go ahead, brother.
The Lord is good to all, and His tender mercies are over all His works.
He's not just good to me. He's good to everybody. When we read that, what do we think? Do we think that it's only Christians that's going to, you know, have good things? No, that's non-Christian that has good things. There are those that look at all the wealth that they have and they say, why do I need God? You need God because it's not about the wealth that you have down here upon this earth, but it's about the pleasures and the wealth that you can have in heaven. That's what it's all about. His tender mercies are over all His works. Everything that He's done. When we look out the window, you know, even here, we can see this tree has green leaves on it. His works, His goodness is there, and those leaves are there for a reason. When you go outside and there's a breeze come through, you say, ooh, I appreciate that breeze. When the rain comes down, you don't, no matter how much you water your lawn with the water that you have to pay for, but when that rain comes down, that grass just seems as though it gets so pretty. That's the goodness of God. The things in which He has given us, the blessings in which we receive, we need to be thankful for those things. Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Praise Him. Don't get mad at Him. Oh, it's raining again, that God that we serve. Don't get mad at Him. Praise Him. Oh, man, that sun is so hot out there. Now, you know, they say that you get vitamin D for the sun, but they don't want you to stay out there too long. God gave it to us. Learn how to dress when you go out there in the sun and soak up some good heat sometime. Get out of the house. You know, when we were little kids don't do this anymore. Some do, some don't. Some, they're out there in the sun. They're trying to do things wrong. But we used to go outside and play all the time. You get those heat advisory come across the screen and say, oh, don't stay outside for X amount of time. Mom and Dad said, you need to stay in or stay out. We went outside and we enjoyed that heat. And when it was time to come in to eat, we ate. Then we went back outside again. But we need to understand, we need to praise the Lord for His goodness. Praise Him. You know, there are many people that have quit praising God. There are many people that have quit rejoicing in God. We need to understand His goodness and we need to accept it. What will cause one not to repent? A hard heart. Sometimes a hard head can be considered a hard heart. It'll cause a person not to repent. You know, God, I just don't agree with everything You've done. I don't want to become one of Your children. Pharaoh had a hard heart. God hardened Pharaoh's heart. He saw the things, the power that God had, but yet Pharaoh wanted to play with God, just like men want to play with Him today. Mess around and drown, and it won't be in the Red Sea. Mess around and burn, and it won't be in the fiery furnace. See, we need to do what is right. We need to act the way God wants us to act and be the people that He wants us to be. Matthew chapter 19, verse 8, He saith unto them, Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffer you to put away your wives. But from the beginning, it was not so. Because of the hardness of your heart, because of the rebellious that you wanted to have, because of the other things or the other people that you wanted, Moses allowed that. But He says, it wasn't like that from the beginning. And that's a whole nother lesson within itself. But I just want to show you what a hard heart will do. In the book of Ezekiel chapter 3, the verse is 7. Ezekiel chapter 3, the verse is 7. A stony heart. You know, we read about the parable of the sower, how the ground fell upon stony ground. And the seed began to grow, but yet it had no depth. So therefore it couldn't go anywhere. A stony heart will cause one not to repent. Ezekiel chapter 3, the verse 7. But the house of Israel will not hearken unto me, for they will not hearken unto me, for all the house of Israel are impudent and hard-hearted. They had a hard heart. In chapter 36, verse 26. Chapter 36, verse 26. Ezekiel. A new heart also will I give you. A new heart now. I want us to think, how many of us need a new heart? How many of us are on the heart transplant list? And we need a change to come about in our lives. So yeah, you're still walking around. Yes, you said, well, I don't need a new heart. My heart is still pumping blood. No, we need something else. This mindset. That's what we're talking about here. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Are we going to live the way God wants us to live? Are we going to accept this new heart that He has for us? This new man that He can make us, are we going to accept that? Or are we going to still have a stony heart? Romans chapter 2, verse 5, it talks about the non-repentant heart. That's heart, not here. How many of us do not want to repent for something that we've done wrong because we think that we were not wrong? God's Word, it teaches us what right and wrong is all about. James says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is sin. But yet you're walking around saying, I have no sin. You that have not become Christian says, I don't have to worry about becoming a Christian because someone has already told me that God is going to save everybody. No, He's not. He's not going to save everybody. There are those that are going to be, you know, cast away in the end. Because of their sin, the end result is perish. Repent or perish. Judgment is coming by the hand of the Lord in the book of Revelation chapter 20, verse 11 through 15. The verse we're going to read is 12 and 13. Revelation chapter 20, verse 12 and 13. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged according, every man according to their works. In verse 15, though, I'll say just two. Let's read verse 15 too. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Is your name in the book? When that book is opened up, is God going to say, I'm going to judge you according to the works you've done? Or is He going to say, no, your name is not in the book of life. You're going to be cast into the lake of fire. The end result, when you are not obedient to the Word of God, is death. Is death. If you are here on this morning, and your life is not right with God, you're not a child of God, you need to consider becoming one. The time is at hand. The book tells us, and the book I'm talking about is the book that's called the Bible, the book in which we're going to be judged by. In the book of Acts chapter 8, we find when Philip was talking to the eunuch, and he asked him a question. Now he's believing in God's Word because he's hearing God's Word. And as he's believing this thing concerning God's Word, he asked a simple, simple question, which a lot of people are running from today. When they came upon much water, he said, see, here is water. What did hinder me to be baptized? And Philip did something that many people have gotten away from today. They asked the person, you know, when we get ready to take a confession of someone, we say, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? We let them say yes or no. Well, I asked my brother one time, why did he want to get baptized? Because he told me he did. I said, why do you want to get baptized? He said, because I know who God is. I said, no, that's not going to cut it. He said, because God is good to me. I said, no, that's not going to cut it. I said, we need to sit down and we need to study some more. And his final answer was, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's what Philip asked the eunuch here. He says, and Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And the confession was made, wasn't it? He said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then, at that point, he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they both went down into the water. So that opportunity is given to you on this morning. Those that are not members of the Lord's church and you want to become one, to come forth and make the confession before men. It's not something that you need to be afraid of. It's not something that you need to be ashamed of. It's something that you need to be proud of. Because you know who Jesus Christ is, and you should be willing to share it with everybody. You share it with us, you have your sins washed away in the water of great baptism, then you go out there and you teach others. And you teach them so that they too can make that confession that they believe who Jesus Christ is. And then those of you that are members of the Lord's church that have strayed away, we encourage you to come back before it's too late. Confess your faults one to another. Jesus, He's waiting on you. God is waiting on you. We are waiting on you. The angels in heaven are waiting on you. If you're here and you're subject to the invitation, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing. 450.